Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to With Insights Radio. Our program here is My Sage Place Presents
Revelation and Revelry.
Revelry. And today our guest is Thomas Mooneagle. He'll be on here shortly. And but we're going to kind of talk a little bit and just go down that little alley and talk a little bit about what we did yesterday.
Yesterday was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Absolutely phenomenal. Every other Wednesday we have a little thing that we call My Sage Place Fireside Meditation, and sometimes and story fires. And boy, mm-hmm. last night was story fires. It was great. We had a fire and we had a little ceremony and we did a little drumming, which was wonderful, and helped to usher in the new moon, which will be here and arrive in full on Friday, mm-hmm. along with the lunar eclipse. And we talked about the beauty of the July moon. It belonged to one of my kids when they were little. Can you believe that? And July moon, which is, last night was a micro moon because the orbit was furthest away than it ever is from the Earth. And so optical illusion shows that the moon is further away than a super moon. They also call it a buck moon because this is the month that the antlers, appear and the fuzz appears on our beautiful bucks. And what else do they call it? I had a little bit. They call it the wort moon. Wort as in W-O-R-T, because it's when we gather, our herbs for healing.
We're giving our mugwort.
Mugwort, thanks. and there was one more. It was, Thunder Moon, because of the storms that happened in July. Mm-hmm. So it was absolutely phenomenal. There was also a comet shower or a meteor shower yesterday.
That was cool. Yeah, that was really cool.
And so Iggy and I did some individualized healing sessions, heart-to-heart meditations and drumming on people, which was wow. Mm-hmm. That's a great word for it. It was wow. And then enjoyed some... I don't know, what did we have? Oh, we had zucchini bread that a friend made, Trish made.
That was the best.
Fabulous.
That was awesome.
And watermelon. Yep. And so Iggy was taking a little trek to the compost pile to throw the yep. watermelon rinds out. And I hear him go, I'm going, and pointing. And we both were so blessed, mm-hmm. so blessed. I always say I just live a remarkable life, but maybe enchanted might be a better word right now. Because we saw, I'm not sure it was a shooting star or a comet or a meteor, right? I don't know, but I'm going to tell
cool.
you. It was emerald green. Mm-hmm. It was so big around, and it had the most beautiful white tail on it. And the tail was not shaggy. It wasn't... It was dense. It was very thick and dense.
It was a spaceship.
And oh, it wasn't a spaceship. It was absolutely
beautiful.
And it was breathtaking. And it was just perfect for our night last night.
Yes, it was.
So I wanted to share that with everybody. I hope that you all get to see something like that in your lifetime. I've seen a lot of shooting stars, but I've never seen anything like that. I thought it was a firework.
Yeah.
I knew
it was a comet or something or a meteor falling because it was coming down really quick.
Oh,
and it was just like
amazing.
And it was just like the tail was so long and just the green fluorescence on it. And I was like pointing to everybody. I was like, Earth! I was like, and we had just talked about, remember?
Yes.
There's going to be a meteor shower. I hope one falls and I hope one comes down. And man, did we manifest that one coming
down? Boy, that was just unbelievable. And I was so excited. I'm going to just have to throw this out there. I was so excited that you saw something that I saw.
Yeah, that was cool.
Because I go, all over the country, mm-hmm. and I'm always by myself, and I see the most remarkable things. One mm-hmm. of these days I'm going to just tell you some of them because, you'll think that they're great stories, mm-hmm. but they're really true. They're really true adventures. But to have somebody get to see the same thing you're seeing is so wonderful, just absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Awesome.
I'm glad you were there. I'm glad you got to see what I saw. I'm glad I got to see what you saw.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we seesawed. Oh, that was fun.
Yeah. So we're in a different studio today. So we're down in the Earth Mother studio.
Yeah.
So we're down in the lower world.
In the bow.
Here. Yeah. So if you see toys and stuff that don't look familiar to us, that's kind of where we're at. So
we had to move for a moment.
Just for a moment. But we're back.
We're gifting our studio to somebody else this evening.
That's right.
Which is nice also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So before we end the show, can I make a plug?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. So Saturday is a peace walk. It mm-hmm. is, if you want to carry a poster, it's all about love. It's all about peace. It is not political. We beg of you, no politics.
Yeah.
This is lifting up. This is, you know, lifting up and moving mm-hmm. up the vibration. And it's from 1 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
And we're meeting where?
Garcia's. 2573 North High Street, Columbus, Ohio, 43202. So we'll meet there in front of the restaurant. We'll go inside. We'll gather ourselves, get our posters and stuff ready, and then we'll start. We'll
wait for everybody. I'm so excited. That's so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, honk if you want to mm-hmm. have peace, right?
Honk for peace.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I'll give you a free hug and stop your car, you know, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, everybody makes signs.
Yeah, really good stuff. So if you don't have anything to do or you just want to hang out with really decent folks and, you know, want to say, oh, I did the peace walk, join us. Join us. It's just a couple hours out of your day.
Yeah.
You know, three at the most, you know, a little bit of time to get there, to walk, a little time to get back. And it's really lovely. The next day, which is Sunday,
mm-hmm.
is the 1,000 Drummers and Dancers. And I'm really excited. I've never been to it. I think that this is an event that he does, and you've been doing it for how many years?
This is on the sixth year now.
Sixth year, which is mm-hmm. really impressive. I've certainly been to others mm-hmm. in other parts of the country, but not one here, so I'm really excited about that.
Yep, so
that is...
That starts at 11 to 5 p.m.
11 to 5.
At the Scioto Audubon Metro Park, which is downtown. Mm-hmm. It's off of Whittier Street.
Whittier.
So if those of you who can make it out, even if you come for a little bit, you know, come and just get the good energy and the feel and the vibrations and the frequencies that you're going to pick up there.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a drum and you want to try it, you know, look one of us up. We have extras.
Mm-hmm.
And you're welcome to, you know, hang out in my canopy or around us. There's just going to be so many wonderful, beautiful people there. And, you know, it's not hippie stuff or anything mm-hmm. like that. It's just good camaraderie. Mm-hmm. It's just good fellowship. It is just about love and respecting each other. And I call it the Humanity Restoration Project. It's bringing dignity and honor back to being human.
Yep.
So
it's a good time. So those of you who want to do that, I encourage you to come. 300-400 people will be there throughout the whole day. So it's a big deal. It's a lot of fun.
That is nice.
Right,
and then let's see, what do we have next? Monday, Iggy has a radio show that he does every Monday, mm-hmm. which is really good. And I think you're interviewing somebody.
Iggy Garcia Live.
Iggy Garcia Live.
The Naked Shaman.
I'm
the Naked Shaman. I don't have an interview this week.
When I say that. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
No interview this week, but I will be there talking about whatever's on my mind, whatever's going on
good.
In the spiritual world. So.
Oh, it's usually a great topic.
Mm-hmm.
Great topics. And then I have a class on Sunday, a week from this Sunday, August 5th. And if you're interested in it, look it up on My Sage Place mm-hmm. on Facebook, or you can always email me at jan@jankevan.com. That's JANKEVAN.com.
Mm-hmm.
info@jankevan.com. Any of those will get to me. This class is actually full, but I do take a wait list for the next one, and we'll go from there.
Very good. So we're going to take a 30-second break, come right back, and then bring our guest on the air, and we're going to grill him. No, I'm just joking.
Roasting for dinner.
All right, Tom. We'll be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
So how do you donate to With Insights Radio? Go to withinsightsradio.com, okay? There's a button that says donate there. So if you want to continue the programming and the things that we're doing here, give us a little support, a little shout out, and tell us if you're liking what we're doing, because this has been going on our 10th year now of doing With Insights Radio. We've had many different DJs and hosts and people working through this network to build it and keep it sustained and keeping it alive. And I want to thank everybody who's been part of that, because this is the reason why we're still here, because things cost money.
Unfortunately, that's really true. And I'm usually one that asks to donate. You hardly rarely ever do that, and I get on you about it.
I just get too excited.
Well, I really get on you about that. And I'm like, I was kind of slacking there. But it is true, I know it sounds really corny, but, even a couple dollars, from a whole bunch of people would really help, because, everything costs money, including electricity.
Mm-hmm. It's an investment. Yeah. It's also an investment in yourself, too, for this kind of programming.
We really feel like we're mm-hmm. sharing information and, helping other people. And the moment I don't feel like that anymore is the moment I won't be doing this anymore.
Yeah, and this is, the guests that we have on our show, they give you a little bit of, nuggets to, mm-hmm. to just learn from. And, this is one way for you to connect with these folks. Maybe you would never connected with some of these people. So we're grateful for anything that you're able to, pass along to us. So without further ado, we're going to bring on Thomas Moon Eagle here. He's a good friend of mine. He's been to many of the expos and shows, and he used to work with a friend of ours, Tom Stones, and Tom passed away a few years ago, I believe now. Goes fast. And I met Thomas through my friend Heather Tapia. That's how mm-hmm. I connected with Thomas. So let's bring him on the air here. Hello, sir. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear us?
I can.
Awesome. Well, welcome back to With Insights Radio. This is my Sage Place Radio. This is another segment, another programming that we have on With Insights. So, and this is my friend Jan Keevan. She's going to be with us here on the interview. She's going to ask you questions or just listen, one of the two. Something will happen.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing all right. It's been a long, busy day.
Good.
I am with you. I think we've all had long, busy days today.
Yeah, today's been busy.
Mm-hmm. But good. Good.
So how you been? I haven't heard from you in a while.
My goodness. I've been doing a lot of teaching. I've been doing a lot of working with clients, traveling last summer, working on local chapter for the Monroe Institute here, and working with the leadership council with them for the local chapter network. So I've stepped into a lot of little positions here and there in the last 2 years.
Okay.
So yeah. So I actually haven't been to many fairs lately, though, just because after Tom passed, I just didn't go out to fairs that much afterwards. So
okay.
It just seemed kind of like empty without.
Yeah, he's a big hole. Pretty cool dude.
Yeah, it'll probably take about 2 or 3 people to fill the space that he did. Better chance.
Yeah, I don't know if you know Tom Stones. He used to have just amazing, how would you describe him, Thomas? just had all kinds of stones and all kinds of stuff. Just, it was just really cool.
Nice.
And his energy was really good too.
Oh yeah, he loved what he did. I mean, and he was very good at it. And was one of those people who could look at a person and tell them, you know, what issues they had and what stones would help with that. He was just plugged in, effortlessly mm-hmm. plugged in, I should say. So it's not that the rest of us are plugged in, but he just could access it effortlessly and quite effervescently as well.
Nice.
I've been working on my own practice and writing my book and just being.
So you're writing a book. All right, nice.
I was.
So what are you writing your book?
Yeah. I had my last book published about 2.5 years ago on the runes, the Norse runes, sort of a shamanic perspective on that. And then I started getting an idea for a next book, but it's not quite formed yet. So I've taken a break from that until I get a better picture of that. And in the meantime, I've been designing workshops that I'm going to start teaching this summer and then in various places and working on putting together a Qigong video to put out in the next couple months as well. So no one can say that I don't have enough things to do. So
yeah, keeping pretty busy.
I like having a lot of different projects so that when one slows down, I can move into something else. Or, you know, if I need to take a break from something, because it's real easy to get, mm-hmm. I think, fixated on something and get stuck.
Yeah. I agree with that. I know. I get like that sometimes.
Do you ever finish a project?
I do. On occasion, I do actually finish projects.
Great.
So sometimes it takes longer than I would anticipate, but I do get them out there. So
mm-hmm. I think there's something to be said about people who do our kind of work a lot of times that we're really, really great at starting, you know, so many different things because they're all important.
Mm-hmm.
And and then I find that it just takes longer and longer to really complete one. And then I think, well, maybe it's just not supposed to be completed.
You know, sometimes that's that way. It seems that way.
But
yeah.
Things like books and things like that, they need to be completed. And
mm-hmm.
So I was mm-hmm. toying with you a little bit because I certainly know what it's like to have so many irons in the fire. I'm mm-hmm. going to singe
well,
my
yeah,
fingers.
I think also, you know, there's an illusion that a lot of people think about when they set a goal. That a goal is a straight line.
Right.
And a lot of times we don't, because we don't know what we don't know when we start out on a project or on something that we're wanting to manifest, what we're going to need to know, what skills are we going to need to know. We have an idea sometimes, I need to be able to do this, this, and this. And we'll start on those things, and then along the way we'll also learn, oh, I didn't know I needed to have this, this, and this, and that may take us off on a tangent for a while before we can come back around. So I've always been sort of in awe of people who just, they have a goal, they pick it, they go, and they do it, and they just move like it seems like in a straight line forward. But mine is more like the serpent road. It just bends back and forth. Eventually it'll get there.
Yeah.
That would be mine. We would be meeting on that circuit, right?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's that way, too.
I don't think I've ever had a straight line in my life.
Like,
no, I'm...
You never finished the last one.
Yeah, well...
I have people say that to me. Aren't you going to do this? And then eventually, a lot of times, if it's something that I really, truly am into, or it's truly aligned with my heart, I will get back to it. Sometimes it just takes longer. To get some things done.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, the events of life happen. And you have, there's only so much, one of my sayings, there's only so much movie goal to go around, you know. There's just the one of me. So.
Touché.
Very good.
I like that. Definitely.
So we're interviewing Thomas Mooneagle here. For those of you who are not familiar with him, he's a good friend of mine. And he asked me to get him back on the show, and he wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things he was doing. So I wanted to give him an opportunity to do that. And I know he's kind of in this place of learning about, I don't know, maybe not learning, but maybe just rediscovering and sharing about time and parallel universes. You were telling me that you wanted to talk about that, and I'm curious why you wanted to go down that road.
Well, because I already go down those roads. And when I start talking about them, people are like, what? So I'm trying to popularize the idea of, or get more people acquainted with it, parallel universes.
Mm-hmm.
Just because...
You're talking to one of those guys.
Yeah, because I think a lot of us do have the experiences, but we don't recognize what they are. And mm-hmm. And actually, the workshops that I'm putting together this summer is called The Quantum Self. And it's about working with time and also parallel universes. And the reason I put both of those in there is because when we work at the level of the soul is nonlinear. So it is outside of time. And then when we come into the body, you know, it creates a spirit body for us, which then creates the physical body and, you know, our emotional body and mental body as well. And but we're still always connected to that soul that is outside of time. And one of the things I've learned through shamanic studies and journeying, personal journeys that I've taken, and sort of how that's structured, and the fact that we do, we exist in multiple universes, and we do have communication with those multiple universes a lot of times, and particularly when we're dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of crossover that happens, and so information gets shared at that dream state, the dream time. And the same thing with time, you know. A lot of our guides exist in that state of timelessness, and then they are called into the present moment or our linear time when we invoke them, when we call them in, which is why it's important to, you know, call on them often. Because then we get more help along the timeline with them. And mm-hmm. so they're more able to assist because they're into linear time. Unless we give them permission, they're stuck sort of out there in just non-linear time with less availability and less ability to influence things. So when we call them in, we give them that in to help us in this present moment, which is good for us as well. So... that's my little overview so far. Do you have any questions? I figured you would.
Well, we always have questions. So I have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, right now in the metaphysical community, we always talk about time as an illusion, that it's not, mm-hmm. You know, it's illusionary. So since you're teaching classes about time, so how do you get across to somebody about that? How do you explain it to somebody that it's an illusion?
Well, I mean, it is and it isn't. I mean, when we exist in a body, we exist through a progression of events in time. And so physical life has that tied into it. And so in the shamanic paradigm, you have the lower world, you have the middle world, and you have the upper world. We live in the middle world, mm-hmm. in between those two. And so, and time is different in all of those. So in the upper world, it's sort of like, no time, no space. It's all places, all times, all at once. And so it's nonlinear. It doesn't have that. And the lower world, from my understanding, is it time is cyclic. It's sort of like how time moves in a dream. And so, you know, and oftentimes that is called in particular Aboriginal cultures the dream time. And then the middle world, which you should be familiar with, we have, you know, progression of time. So So, you know, we have today, then tomorrow, then the next day, we have the past, then we have the future. But even in the middle world, time is not as fixed as most people think, you know. There are a lot of experiments that have shown that things in the future can cause things to happen in the past, and so as well as the other way around. But it's not, you know, causality is not one direction. So, and for those of you who have, you know, gone to at least your second Reiki attunement, you're given the distance symbol, usually to do distance work on people, but you can also send things through time with that symbol. And so you can send things forward in time, but you can also send Reiki back in time. And that's really, you know, if you can think back to times in your life when you've been really challenged, and all of a sudden you were able to somehow push through and pick yourself back up. And I've had times like that. And I remember after I received Reiki, I was just like, I think I'm going to go ahead and send back to me at various times. And it's almost like that caused what happened in the past. And so it was sort of like being part of that, of helping myself in the past, even before, you know. But, of course, it had already happened. So it gets really confusing for people when you play with stuff like that. But that's the sort of thing, you know, when you can go and you can help yourself, younger versions of yourself. You can also heal wounds from the past, but you can also request help from your future self and interact with your future self, which is pretty cool.
Yes.
Because they've already done it. They can see what's already happened.
Well, you and I talk that language just because we do shamanic work, so it's very familiar to us. For a lot of people, it's not familiar. But, you know, I do a lot of parallel universe work too with people, you know, being able to access things in different parts of your self existences and bring them back to the present moment to share and to learn from. It's pretty fascinating. It's pretty powerful. That's when I was learning in Peru, they would teach us about parallel universes. They would talk to us that we're multiple. We're multiple dimensional. We transcend time and space. How the message comes back is also as important as how you ask for it, because if you're not specific, then you're going to get it in like a puzzle or a picture or some type of, you know, framing. So you have to be, you know, that's, the universe is funny like that. You know, I always tell everybody the universe always says yes.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you know,
if you do intuitive readings with people, you'll know sometimes people ask really terrible questions. And, you know, as part of my job when I'm doing readings with people is to inform them of better ways to ask questions so that they get better information, you know. Because we don't think about it. We're not exactly clear. And so rather than try and get an answer to a fuzzy question, I will always direct people to ask a better question so that we can get better answers. And
we're emotionally invested in what we're asking.
And, go ahead.
Sorry. So just so that I'm understanding, okay, let's just say that I have absolutely no experience in parallel universe talk or speak, and I'm trying to figure out what it is this guy's talking about. Would it be fair to say, because I think a lot of people know about Doctor Who, that Doctor Who accidentally, if I remember correctly, tripped into a parallel universe TARDIS when he was trying to find Inferno or something like that, and that was a parallel universe. And so people who might be familiar with Doctor Who and that story, or even a better one, Alice in Wonderland, those might be examples of parallel universes that people can relate to in story fiction form.
Sure.
But nonetheless, so that people can identify and relate, because some of us are very much novices on what you're talking about, and we're just trying to learn. So we don't always know what fiction is.
Yeah, I think fiction is actually, you know, some people would disagree with me, but I think fiction is a wonderful tool for understanding things and or for trying out ideas or, you know, because there's been things that I thought I've seen in like a book and I'm like, well, I wonder if that's actually, if that could actually work that way. And then, you know, I go and I work with my guides and find out, oh, yeah, but kind of more like this. Yeah. And
yeah, I that rabbit hole. It's not too great.
Yeah, it's you know, I think there's actually a show on Amazon called The Man in the High Castle. Which is a lot. It's about a parallel universe, in which the Axis powers won the Second World War, and at the same time, this universe is being flooded with films from other universes where different things happen. So there are crossover points. And for those people who are going, what are they talking about? I can guarantee you that everybody listening to this has crossed over at least once in their lifetime into another. You are not in the universe that you were born in. And we skip back across all the time, and we just mostly don't know it. And then there's also like convergence. Yeah. There's also convergences. So, you know, say that every time a choice is made, they say, or something happens, it's different. Universe splits off. So say you turn left down a street instead of turning right. Actually, I know there's a Doctor Who episode called Turn Left. But see, now, as a caveat to that, see, since something different happened and that had an impact, you know, to what was going to follow in her life, there were two different universes that happened. But if she turned left, you know, and the only difference was that she turned left and then she got to exactly the same place that she was going to go anyway, then those two universes would re-merge into one. So they split off, but sometimes they weave back together. So, it, you know, when I call it convergence of possibility. So sometimes, you know, certain things happen. Yeah, they're a little bit different, but the two things become one when they become the same. Otherwise, we would have, so well, we do have a lot of these. There's quite a large multiverse, but not all things that happen are significant enough to change the course of the whole narrative of the universe and the whole possibility wave. So you have things are more likely than others. Yeah.
No matter what happens, though, we're always gaining. We're having an experience, though. You know,
sure.
Even when we're crossing through these dimensions, we're creating experiences and memories while that's happening. And then we come back and we go, what just happened? I have those.
What if I'd have zagged to the zigged?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer that anything that's created, because nothing's new under the sun.
Right.
Number one, that's what they say. This science fiction is out of somebody's memory, somebody's mind, somebody's belief system. Someone will look at me and go, Iggy, come on. Star Wars is real.
True.
No,
oh,
for me, all this stuff is our reality within the reality.
Sure.
Okay. So when you look at it, it may not play. It's like us recording ourselves right now. If you look at us on the recording that we have on the screen.
I forgot we were doing
that. When we're recording.
Yeah.
You know, when someone goes back to look at it, for them it's not a reality because it's not us. It's something else that they're projecting. It's kind of like watching a movie and then they're going, yeah, I get that. I can relate. Then they use the memories and then they associate and all this stuff. So I find that everything that we create, because, you know, art imitates nature, so we're imitating, we're drawing and pulling from that universal consciousness.
Right.
You know, we're creating all these cool stuff.
So just, I'm just going to interject for a moment, just for us novices, you know, I'm going to just put this out there that what Iggy is talking about is in your lifetime, if you've seen something invented and you said, oh, geez, I thought about that, you know, like 3 years ago, that was my invention. You know, which we've all done, every one of us. If you're somebody probably over the age of 20, you've had that experience already in your lifetime.
And I've had a whole show on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so that's what we're talking about. You know, it's out there. The ideas are already out there. You know, some people just act on them, and others don't.
Mm-hmm.
If that
Yeah.
For me, I'm a novice at this, so just trying to put it out there.
Nerd shamans over here.
That's okay. That's okay.
We're like, woo, we're gone.
Well, just in case somebody doesn't understand, you know, I'm always.
Yeah, you're right.
Explaining. Oh, no, yeah. I mean,
Jan, you're such a buzzkill. Just kill him.
No, I mean, that's good, though, because you want to have, like, you know, things that make sense to me or you might not make sense to other people, but. And, you know, which is why I can teach a workshop about it, because if everybody understood it and already accessed it, there'd be no need to do a workshop. We would just sit around and talk about it and play around. So.
That's right.
Yes, there are ways to learn how to do it. And, you know, of course, the first thing is just considering it as a possibility. Because, you know, if you don't think something is possible, you never go and seek it out. So that's a big one. It's, you know, if you don't think you can do it, then you can't. I mean,
right. That's good point.
But if you think you might be able to do it, well, there's wiggle room. I can try that out. But there's a lot of interesting when you start poking into it. Like one of my first experiences was. And I had gone to a seminar of some sort, and I'd gone with a friend. And one of the many topics that they covered was parallel universes. And, you know, we were in that workshop for, you know, 3 or 4 days. And, you know, that was just one tiny portion of it. But as we were leaving and we're driving, because we drive a long way, we're looking out at the scene in front of us, and I'm seeing, like, transparent snow. Because it wasn't snowing where we were. What was snowing, like a universe over, I think it was like a universe over to the right, it was snowing. And then the universe over to the left, it was sunny. Now where we were, in the universe that we were actually inhabiting in that moment, it was just overcast. But we were visually seeing sort of overlays of different weather patterns. So, I mean, and I think, you know, if you've ever seen something like a sign or a billboard or something on the side of the road that you think is one thing and it turns out it's something else, I mean, sometimes it's just because you missaw it, you know, you misinterpreted it, but sometimes it's because you were seeing what it was in another universe.
Yeah. So, and our universes are kind of now.
Yeah, they're spread out, but there's times where they touch close together. There's things, you know, that cross over into ours and ours cross, you know. And if you've watched Stranger Things, you've seen sort of like, that's more like parallel dimension, which is I don't quite understand that as opposed to universes, but it's similar. It's a similar concept. Of course, they take it to a darker place than I do.
I mentioned this fellow to Iggy one time. It's one of my favorite guys, and that's Bentov, Ishtak Bentov, who wrote Stalking the Wild Pendulum. And he's a scientist, but he was also a mystic.
Mm-hmm.
He created, for those of you who don't know, he actually created what they call the steerable cardiac catheter. That was used today. I mean, this guy was just a brilliant man, absolutely brilliant man, but he doubted quantum physics. And I mean, he was so flippin' brilliant. But I'm sure you've read a lot of his work if you deal in parallel universes and quantum physics, because this guy was just beautiful about it. And as factual, he was a scientist. And so it's almost like an oxymoron when you put the word scientist and consciousness, mystic guy, you know, in the same sentence, you know, it just doesn't work. You know, people just go, what? You know, you can't be both of those.
Yeah.
You know, you know, we're talking rigidity and no rigidity.
Right.
And hologram life and fourth and fifth dimension life as opposed to Newtonian. So when you get into that kind of work or that kind of thought process, I'm telling you, you can go anywhere and everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so unself-limiting And that's what I want people to know about you and to know about, you know, themselves, is that we don't have to just be, you know, in this box, mm-hmm. you know, that mm-hmm. this what we perceive to be this box that we live in, that we get to go outside of that. And there's so many places you can go. It's not yeah. just imagination. If you can imagine it, you can actually go there. Which is really hard. It's a hard concept to
well, that's what they say.
To, you know, to wrap your head around, but it's a really easy concept to wrap your heart around.
Yeah.
You know, emotionally we can actually go there because we're believers in things. You know, a lot of the people that I know believe like I do, they believe in a higher power, they believe in a God, they believe in spirit, they mm-hmm. believe in, you know, in whatever that is called. And so that's easy. That's a dimension that's really easy for them to perceive.
Sure.
Because it's done with your heart. But when you put your mind into it, your mind's like, yeah, right.
Then you have ego parts that are challenging
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yeah. So thank you so much. This is so interesting. I've learned a lot.
Oh, well, I think it's really important, you know, we say that we're in a scientific paradigm in our culture, but we're really not. We're actually in a scientific materialism paradigm, which is different than pure science. So because mm-hmm. if you go, you know, they say, oh, there's no proof of this. But if you actually start to look at many, there's so many documented double-blind controlled experiments, some of which have been performed by military science mm-hmm. about the existence of consciousness and energy and all that. And when I say military, you know, there a lot of them were investigating distant healing, you know, and, you know, things like changing the radioactive decay rate on an isotope, which for those of you who are familiar with the way that isotopes normally work, they have a pretty fixed decay rate. They always decay at that rate. Well, Qigong masters were able to alter the rate of radioactive decay. So
phenomenal.
And they've got, wow. and there are documented studies on that, so multiple documented studies on that. So it's just, you know, the things that we think of, you know, the fact of the matter that the speed of light fluctuates from one day to the other, gravity fluctuates as well. So
yeah.
you'll get some of the bands off and you'll get some good stuff.
Well, they even talk about that we can travel faster than the speed of light, so, you know. Mm-hmm. If we can go faster than that, you know, it's just...
Well, it's amazing because this is just, I do end-of-life work, like an end-of-life doula, and one of the studies that has actually been done, I talked about this today to somebody, is that when the moment somebody, quote-unquote, dies,
mm-hmm.
Or that their soul leaves their body or their spirit leaves their body, their weight changes.
Yeah.
And... they have actually done a study on that now, and it is like documented.
Grams.
Yeah, and so they have right. I know. Yeah.
yep.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. And we just think we're so smart. mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot to it. I mean, there's interesting. You know, just with parallel. I mean, you could play all day in a class on just one of those. I decided to throw both time and parallel universes. I thought it would make really great, you know, things to put together, time and, you know, the different possibilities. You know, thinking of time, I mean, a lot more energy practitioners have played with time than probably parallel universes, and so a lot of people will start to, and there's been a lot more fiction about time travel, consequences of time travel. How that might work, mm-hmm. how that might work. Doctor Who is more kind of like fantasy than it really is actual time travel. But, you know, but you could at least get people's minds wrapped around some things. And, you know, one of the things that happened for me and why, you know, why this kind of work is actually useful is I ended up finding a past life experience mine that was quite traumatic, and I traveled back into, you know, the part where I had died, and I crossed my own self over, and then in doing so also received a bit of soul energy back because it had been lost because of the traumatic way that I had died in that lifetime. And so I got a boost. I got, you know, recharged up. So it is fascinating, but there's also healing that happens with working with a lot of these techniques and, you know, navigation. So it's not just, ooh, I want to see what's going on over there, which is cool. You can do that. But you can also say, you know, I keep having this recurring problem. Do any of my multiple selves in these different universes, have any of them solved it? You know, can I tune into them and see if I can get the pattern for that? You know, sometimes you're actually expressing symptoms of something that not even belongs to you. It might belong to parallel self number 47 over there. And it's not yours. So it's sort of like, I got to send that one back, you know, because that's not mine. And allow them to have, and when you do that, it does not hurt them or anything. It just, it sends healing back along that whole wave all the way back to number 47. So
let me ask you a question, Tom. Why are we so fascinated? Because we are fascinated by it, you know, about, you know, changing, going back, changing time, parallel universes.
Mm-hmm.
My God, the whole DC universe has been altered just because someone thought it would be cool to just change and bring and put. So is the Marvel universe if you do comic books.
Mm-hmm.
But why is man so infatuated and so just wants to really explore, because we do explore that. The military sciences does explore time travel and parallel universes. What's your take?
You know it.
Well, I think it. You know, there are good things about that and bad things about that. And the good thing is that we can, you know, seek something more and greater than what we have experienced. But I think, you know, from the ego standpoint, a lot of it is like we're attempting to control our experience. We're trying to exert some measure of control. And there's nothing wrong with trying to exert some measure of control. And for people who think that they can just like will something and do that, that's not quite how it works. Because it's not coming from the brain, it's coming more from the heart. And because the heart connects to the larger field, and that connects to the soul, and that, of course, spans those different places. So if it's not aligned with the heart or the soul, it's not happening. But I think it does come from our, you know, a lot of times we can feel trapped by our circumstances and trapped by time, or, you know, or the way possibilities have played out. The idea that we can go someplace or access another place where something else happened instead, because we all have experienced regrets. We all have done something, and we wish we had done something different. And so I feel like that is a big draw. Oh, a place where I can fix, where my mistakes didn't happen, or where something better happened, or where that possibility paid out for me, is just very attractive. And we also have the grass is greener syndrome. We think, oh, it's so greener in universe number 13 over there. It just looks so much better. And then meanwhile, number 13. Yeah, the grass is greener phenomena. So, and then, but like you said, what's interesting about that is it's like we don't stay in one universe in our lifetime. We're always weaving between them. And it really becomes a matter of becoming more conscious of that and more conscious of, you know, what are we aligning with? Because I've said before that some possibilities are more explored than others. You know, some possibilities are going to happen, are going to have more universal, more multiverses representing them. And all that has to do with what the soul is aligned with experiencing. And then also what the soul groups that you're connected to are aligned with experiencing. So right now in the world, we have a lot of upheaval, lots of big seismic shifts going through various cultures. And it's because there is, collectively, there is a shift that's happening of, we're trying to decide, where are we going? What universes are we going to explore? You know, what possibilities are we going to explore? You know, are we going to continue one narrative, or are we going to start a different narrative? Are we going to lean more towards one way or the other way? And And I'm particularly being very careful not to say which one is which. Because it doesn't really, names in this context don't really matter. It's just there's mm-hmm. narratives. Are we going to explore more open narratives where there's more trust, where there's more faith in people, where we value one another? Or are we going to explore more universes where separation and mistrust and competition is more important? So it just depends. And it really is going to come up to the individual soul. And so what happens is if they, like, you're really totally aligned with one, well, you're going to manifest in those universes more. There's going to be more versions of you in those. And then...
So let me interrupt you real quick. So when we go into another parallel universe and there's another version of ourselves there, do we actually merge with that version of ourselves, or does the other self go into the old version that we came out of? How does that work?
Usually it means
I have my theories, but I want to hear yours. What's that?
That's something I should totally ask my upper world teacher and the master. Actually, most of this information came from a master teacher. So, mm-hmm. but that's a good question. I would think that basically you're always going to be going towards the universe that you're more aligned with. And so another self could slip in to one that is more aligned with, the one you just left. So
mm-hmm.
It wouldn't necessarily be the one that you're going into. They may have gone into a different one that they're aligned with. So it's always that you, and I say this as you, plural, are always going towards the universe that you're in alignment, you're in sync with.
Does that make sense? Yeah, that makes sense to me. And then Jan said that heaven is probably a parallel universe then.
Heaven? I don't know. It could, it just depends.
It could be.
I see that more as part of the upper world. And so it's weird how, so and these are all good questions that I now have to go ask my guides.
hey,
like I thought that
you're talking to your
people.
We're your people, man. We're your people.
Yeah. So I always sort of think of heaven as sort of like in the upper world, in those places beyond like physical incarnation. But there would be, I guess, and I think we're in the middle world right now. And so when I think of parallel universes, I think I'm all stacked in that middle world. And so with that, I'd say there might be some that are more closely aligned with that, or more in balance with that upper world. Mm-hmm. So, in some cultures, they say that human beings' purpose is to balance the energies of the upper world and the lower world here in the middle world, which we haven't been doing very well. But that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Some of us are really smart.
Go ahead, Thomas.
It's not an easy job. It's a really difficult job.
Yeah.
You say that with laughter, Thomas, and I will say to you that I hear that, and I hear the laughter, and I understand it, but my heart just took a dip when you said that, because it truly is a really hard job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
When we were just talking about, when Iggy asked that question about what are, do we go and get better, or do we leave our, good self and get a better self, or, what are we really doing? And why are we doing this? Why are we even here? Those kinds of things. And I keep thinking to myself, I do still believe that there are those of us who are truly supposed to raise the vibration and heal this earth
mm-hmm.
and humanity. And, whether we dip into a parallel universe or a fourth or fifth dimension or around the corner and mm-hmm. up the street, universe,
mm-hmm.
it's all bringing the same thing. And that is goodness and, honor and respect, and it is hard. It's hard, hard work, and I thank you for your contribution to it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, actually, everybody who's listening, you know, you wouldn't be listening to this if you didn't have a heart for helping humanity and to, you know, lighten this world. And the one that right now we are mentally in congruence with. So, you know, where we go when we leave this show, you know, is wherever we go when we leave
right.
this show. But for right now, you know, yes, thank you.
So those of you who are listening to the show out there, if you have a question for Thomas Moon Eagle, the call-in number is 646-595-3440. Again, that's 646-595-3440. Okay, so if you want to ask a question to either any three of us here, we can maybe help you out with something. One of my biggest fascinations that I love the parallel universe theory because I work with that. That's what I do. That's where my work lays. But there was this comics that I was so infatuated with and just loved. It was called Elseworld Comics, which was part of the DC universe where all the superheroes were the other superheroes.
Oh wow!
Like Batman was Superman, and then they were in King Arthur time, it was really cool because
I would love that.
It fascinated my mind at how what if they came earlier versus when the time that they were put into.
Mm-hmm.
What if they were, you know, this or that. You know, what if the Green Lantern was actually Batman? You know, and
what if?
What you know?
My
it was, and then there was the What If comics too in the Marvel
if?
Universe. But today, for example,
what was the name of it? Elseworld.
They called it Elseworld.
But
that's interesting. They call it something else now. But today was a good example. I was talking to you today. Today is a good example of how we slip into these little pockets of universes.
Mm-hmm.
Today I was working.
Right.
In the back of the building, painting and sweeping, and, mm-hmm. and my uncle was there, and he was sitting there for a long time, and he goes, "Iggy, is that you?" He called me Nacho, but Iggy, I'm like, yeah, I'm over here. So he goes, "I kept hearing this like pushing, like this sweeping, and but I didn't see anybody." And I said, "No, I've been here the whole time," and I didn't see him either, though, which was funny. But later on, my sister was leaving the restaurant from the back. She told I'm sitting on the porch, and she totally like walked right past me. And I know she saw me, but she didn't even notice me. Mm-hmm. And at the last second, I said, "Hey, Liberty, what are you doing?" She's like, "Have you been sitting there the whole time?" You know, and I had like removed myself from wherever. I put myself in a different place, mm-hmm. in a different zone or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You know, I had that fox medicine on, whatever you want to call it. But it was really cool to observe what was happening because I could feel like something was energetically was moving through me. And I was really at peace, though. It was like you were really at peace. It was like almost like you were in a meditative transport, you know, transporting yourself out of whatever you were doing. But that's what happened to me today, and that was pretty cool.
It's like when you dream you're invisible or you can fly.
Yeah.
You know, that's the most powerful thing in the world and the most freedom.
Yeah.
You know, that you're actually invisible as long as it's for good.
No, it was for good.
You can fly, yes. Yeah, listen to you giggle. I like you. That was great.
Long time little trick of mine.
Oh.
No, stepping into the between is kind of what I call it. Yeah, that's how I refer to it.
Yeah.
Stepping into the between. You know, you're not where you're not quite in sync with this world, but you're not quite in the spirit world, but you're kind of in between.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting place because you live. I'm sorry, you do what with that?
I said I lived a lot of my life like that, and I had to really, really forcefully ground myself and be here now. You know, because I really didn't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I help people with a lot right now is. You know, it's really easy for me to recognize, you know, the ones that have their heads so far up in the clouds that their feet aren't on the ground. You know, that they're someplace other than here. And it's important, and you already know this, but it's great to be able to, you know, if there is such a thing as parallel universes, da-da-da-da-da, you know, it's great to be able to go back and forth and do those that. It's wonderful, and I love that. But it's also extremely important to have our feet firmly planted on the ground when they need to be so that we can do the things that we need to do and be responsible
But here's,
the construct of being human.
Here's the point. You don't know where the prime is, though.
Well.
You don't know where the prime is. You're assuming that this is the prime.
I'm going to make it up.
But no, but
we make everything up as we go.
That's what people don't understand. There is
a
principle. There is a principle version
of
ourselves.
I don't disagree.
And this may not be it.
I know you're right.
All three of us may be here in a parallel universe, which isn't the prime. So,
no, I agree.
But there has to be like a conscious grounding all
throughout
the whole matrix of that.
Which is the other thing
yes.
we're trying to work on. Yeah.
And that's where you might have to teach the other ones that don't know
mm-hmm.
how to.
Right. Right.
Well, yeah.
So the question
sort
is.
Well, yeah, I mean, the prime for me would be the soul. That's kind of how I would look at it, because that is who we are, really. And then it's exploring. But what happens is if you're able to hold space and align with something in your universe, but you're also able to connect with other versions of yourself and align, and those
mm-hmm.
as well. You create a much more powerful chain reaction that happens throughout all of those universes where you're connected and aligned. So you can create great changes. Exactly. So you do want to be grounded and you do want to be connected, but then you also want to be able to reach out into those and then, you know, help those other versions of yourself and also have them help you so that you can collectively move through in a much more powerful and effective way, and a more healing way. That is a good point. Tuning into these things is not tuning out. You actually have to be able to drop your energy in order to sort of pick up on these in a healthy way. There are people who are picking up on other stuff. That they're usually considered ill, I look at it as their perception filters have been broken. So they're not tuned to one station. They're tuned to a bunch of them, and it's very unnerving.
Very kind.
You know, I find it interesting because in order to actually do what you're talking about, like if you're doing soul retrieval work, any type of work, you have to be grounded. You can't not be grounded. You have to be present in, you know, in the work you're doing.
Absolutely.
So if you're able to access multiple dimensions or universes or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you have to be grounded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you're not grounded, then all you're doing is getting previews of things that can be.
Well, it's also what drives people to, boy, these are really awkward words I'm going to use, but it also is what drives people crazy, what they call crazy or paranoid schizophrenics. And
but that's what happens in shamanism. That's how you learn to become a shaman. You have to go crazy.
Not like that. You know what I'm talking about, though.
You can go schizophrenic
if
you're not grounded.
And if you're not grounded, that's what we're talking about.
You can get lost in your own mind.
Of course you can. We all can. And it happens. And it's so sad to me because
mm-hmm.
because I know that so many of those people that this happens to are looking for that goodness and
mm-hmm.
and they have that goodness in them, but they just didn't have their feet firmly planted on the ground. I could have been one of those. I could have been one of those so easily.
Yeah,
so easily.
There's tons of ways to ground too. So
yes,
you have to come to learn.
I know.
And also just sitting in a circle with people as you're exploring these things, as those people become a tether. They become a lifeline for each other. And so they can also check their perceptions against each other and saying, are you getting this? No. But, you know, with several people, you may be tuned over here. So it allows you to also fine-tune your own senses as well as making sure that you are actually, you're not playing in your mind, you're playing for real, as they say. So you're really engaging in another reality rather than into an imagined reality in your head. And so working in a group is really powerful for that. I mean, there are ways to do it without it. It's harder to do that without somebody else. And, you know, coming together with that joint intention also is going to amplify the effect. So,
And the strange thing is that most of us who do this work really love to be by ourselves. We like to be alone. And so we know that it's good to be in groups. We know that it's important. We know it. But, oh, man, do we like to be alone.
Well, you ever noticed? I think that, you know, it's good, too. I think you have to do your own personal work. Or as I like to say, I have to do my own, I got to play on my own before I'm allowed to play with the rest of the kids. You know, you have to do my own personal work before I can work in a group setting. And I think it's really important to have that balance, because otherwise you get, you know, when you're within school, when you were assigned to a group project and, you know, one or two people end up doing most of the work. Same thing can happen with it. The magical working groups, you know, two or three people in the group, and they're holding the whole space for the whole group.
80-20 rule.
Yeah, and so it's really important to get people. One teacher of mine says to have some skin in the game. If you're not contributing, then you need to go and work on your own for a bit. So.
Absolutely.
Getting in the game.
That's
the harsh truth.
This was. Oh, my. Harsh truth. I like that statement.
So, Thomas, do you have a time or date where you're going to have a class, or how can people find you? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
I've got a couple things coming up. I'm going to be speaking at a fair in Florence, Kentucky, called Quantum Bliss Holistic Fair. And I'll be talking about energy anatomy on that one. So different topic, but related. And then I'll be teaching that Quantum Self workshop in Thunder Bay, Ontario, on August 19th. And then also in Anoka, Minnesota, at the White Buffalo Spiritual Healing and Gifts on the 25th. And I have event pages for that on Facebook. So
because you're on,
that would probably
find you on Facebook. Then.
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook. I'm the only Thomas Budigo.
Okay. Very good.
it's pretty easy to find me.
Okay.
Unless I don't want to be found.
Very good. And then you also... And you said you have some videos on YouTube as well, a YouTube channel as
I
well,
do.
Right?
Yeah. If you put my name in Google, I'll pop right up. And there's probably, I don't know how many videos there are, but they're all different topics. And they're like little mini free sessions with me. So,
cool.
You know, they're like Manifest and Money Miracle. And, you know, there's one on healing the past. There's multiple ones on luck and different things. Or, you know, you can look through. Everybody, of course, goes like right to the Money Miracle one, but there are lots of other useful videos on that channel.
I wonder why.
But it's really interesting to see, like, you know, the two most popular ones are the Manifest the Money Miracle and Magical Weight Loss. Those are the two ones that are like the highest viewed. I'm like, but what about the manifesting self love and acceptance? You know,
that's
really important. It makes those other ones work so much better. It does, yeah. It's like, if you don't have that you're only going to get, you know, middling results with the other stuff. You really need to have that. So as you go along and in your path, you find, you know, yeah, you can do stuff. You can bring money in. You can manifest this. You can manifest that. But at the end of the day, you know, once your needs are met, how you are with yourself, and then how you respond in relation to others is really what's going to separate, you know, a really enjoyable, full life from kind of a just kind of getting by sort of existence. So, and that's, you know, not something I'm an expert on, but that's where I'm putting my focus as far as like what I want to change in my own life is, you know, how do I treat myself and how do I relate with others? You know, those two things. If you get those two things right, your rest of your life is cake. I mean,
nice.
Yeah.
So,
I like that for you.
It's all about relationship.
Right. So hold that thought real quick. We're going to take a quick break and bring it back in for your closing thoughts, what you want to leave with our listeners. So we're right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Dancing through the parallel universes of time, Iggy Garcia and Jan Keevan. We're back. Our interview with Thomas Mooneagle, and he's been talking about time and parallel universes, and I think we jumped some universes here and there.
Yeah, I think we might have.
Through this interview.
It's kind of fun.
You know?
I think we'll probably see each other in a couple of those different universes more than once.
But I want to share something with you guys because this is like documented. This is documented because I have documentation, so
okay.
I'm not making this up. On two occasions, I've had people tell me that I was at an event or a thing where I wasn't.
I love it.
There was the one where I was playing soccer, my team. I was actually home. I didn't want to go play that day. This is like 10 years ago. I didn't feel like playing, but they said I went, and I played. And I scored 2 goals. And I'm like, Iggy, thanks for coming. And, you know, I was like, you know, I wasn't there. And they're like, ha, whatever. You know, they were just, you know, joking with me. The other time was another event where I was at, where I was at a friend's house, but I wasn't at a friend's house. I was actually home.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting, the things that, the experiences that I've had. So I don't know if you guys have had anything like that happen to you, but I think it's pretty cool.
I guarantee you, I've been a couple places that other people have been, and we've all were at home in our beds. And, pretty awesome. I love that. Love that stuff.
How about you, Thomas? You ever been someplace you're not, you thought you weren't supposed
to be?
I've
had, you can tell us about.
I have had people claim that I have been other. I saw you there, and I was like, no, I haven't left town. So I've had that. You know, Thomas. So Tom used to tell me, he's like, you can be in a couple places at once, and. And, you know, he was pretty accurate, so I'll just believe him on that.
I believe him, too, because when people tell you, hey, I talked to you the other day, and I'm like, don't even know you. I'm like, that must have been my parallel Iggy, because he must have really wanted to come over here.
I have a friend that used to just go crazy, because when we would go in public, like to the big city or something like that, invariably, I would have people constantly saying, oh, I know you, you know, or, oh, I met you so-and-so, and hadn't a clue who these people were.
Yeah.
But they would swear to you that they knew me. They really knew me.
No, I believe
and
it.
She would say, how do you know all these people? And I'm like, I don't know, not sure. But I just hope I was good.
Very good.
A good girl.
So, Thomas, I want to give you an opportunity to, you know, with the closing thoughts about how or what you want to share with our listeners and about your work, your story today.
Well, I would say that it's really interesting to try and conceive of yourself beyond your life, beyond time, and, you know, beyond the set of possibilities and circumstances you find yourself in, and that you're larger than your life. You're so, you know, their time is so vast because our soul is so large that it needs all of those moments to fully express, and it needs all those universes to fully explore itself. And, you know, and if you think of the vastness of, you know, of all of those things playing out, all of those moments and all of those different possibilities, you kind of almost can almost conceive of how big you are.
Almost.
And almost, not quite. You know, it's the finite mind trying to trying to conceive of the infinite. So there's always going to be a little lag between those two.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good place to start, I think.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on the air and sharing your experiences,
well,
your
you
knowledge, and your gift. Absolutely. We'll have you back again.
Yeah. All right. I'm always working on something.
All right, my friend.
Bless.
You have a good evening. Thank
you. All right. You too. Thank you. Right,
bye-bye. That was my friend Thomas Mooneagle. I'm glad he was able to share with us his experiences, his medicine, the work he does. He's pretty powerful. He's a pretty powerful little guy, you know. He does some good stuff.
That was interesting. It's always interesting to get somebody else's perspective, somebody else's ideas, somebody else's way to see things. And and I always say, you know, my mind changes, you know, every day about all of these things. I love to hear it. I love what other people have to say about it, about everything, absolutely everything. And I love to be able to take it in and say, wow. Have I ever thought that before? Maybe I did, maybe I didn't, but I'm kind of liking this, you know, or maybe I'm not, like, maybe it rubs me wrong.
Right.
But nonetheless, I get to think about it. And I, you know, I quite frankly always say, you know, if you're only seeing the wooden table and that's all you see is the wooden table, but you don't see what went into making the table or the hands and the people and the heart that went into making it and the tree that sacrificed itself for you and the love that was and the life that was and the people around the table who eat or the kids who do the homework at the table. And if you don't see that great big picture, then you're living like this and you're driving yourself crazy because you're living in this little box and you're making your life so complicated because you're living in this tiny little box and it can't all fit in there. So your mind is like, blah, blah, blah. It's a jumbled mess. But if you would look at the great big life that you have, this great big picture, life is simple.
Yeah.
It just simplifies it. It honestly simplifies it. And if you want to know more about that, gee, call me and ask me. I mean to tell you, take a class.
Mm-hmm.
I teach this stuff. So does Iggy. And you know, there's lots of people that do. We love to share it. We love to share it because it's so simple and it's so good and it's so real and... You know, and it might not be any of those things, but if it's nothing else, it's from a kind human heart helping to heal humankind, and that's about as good as I think I can get.
That's pretty good. Preach, Jan.
I'm so good at it. You know, I stood in that pulpit. We've talked about that before.
Levitate.
I've done that before, too. You know, you need to bring her down. So do we have any callers for us or anybody calling in?
No.
Okay. Well,
No questions to answer.
Okay.
Just a reminder that we're going to have the Peace Walk, the Walk of the Peacemakers on Sunday at 1 o'clock. It's about 3. We're,
on
hopefully,
Saturday,
hopefully we get it 3.
On Saturday.
Hopefully we get to hit 321 on Saturday. So we can
321
do
off our love note.
Do the love note. Hopefully we make it.
Mm-hmm.
Not too
Sunday's
hot.
The drumming.
Sunday's the drumming. That's 11 to 5. That's the gathering 1,000 drummers and dancers. So that's a big plus. So I guess that's really it. That's our show for tonight.
Yeah. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Be well. Take care.
Stay blessed.
Enjoy the rest of your week. Give somebody a hug. Give somebody a kiss. You know, but do it by invitation only.
Thank you, Iggy.
Yeah.